Daily, our newspapers, our airwaves, our internet news outlets are clogged with experts who make predictions. Omnipresent and presumably omniscient, they augur on demand on matters ranging from the war to Capitol Hill to Wall Street, kind of like the dessert after a heavy entree of news. The McLaughlin Group, a Sunday morning talk fest, rewards viewers every week with the predictions of its four pundits.
Predictions, Pat.
Your boy Netanyahu won't even run second.
Governor Schwarzenegger will commute the death sentence of Tukey Williams, co-founder of the Crip.
Congress won't pass a budget resolution.
Andrew Card will be the succeeding Treasury Secretary.
Ben Bernanke takes over from Alan Greenspan in February. He will ease back interest rates, and that will lead to a stock market boom in 2006. Bye-bye.
But has anyone ever followed up on these professional prophets and calculated how often they're right? Well, one man has. University of California, Berkeley professor Philip Tetlock has just published a new book with his findings called Expert Political Judgment, How Good Is It? How Can We Know? Tetlock tracked 284 experts from politics, the academy, business, and journalism for 20 years. He asked them to make predictions both in and outside their areas of expertise, and he tallied all their forecasts, both as probabilities and right or wrong guesses. By 2003, when his study concluded, he had analyzed more than 82,000 predictions. What he found out was that often, being an expert was the best predictor of being wrong.
When an expert has very, very strong opinions on an issue, when the expert places a high value on simplicity and has little patience with contradictions or ambiguity, and when the expert is making longer-term predictions, that expert's likely to go off the cliff. And the more knowledge that expert has, the worse, interestingly, it becomes. Because the expert is using the knowledge very selectively to justify increasingly extreme predictions.
I guess in this case, the experts do what the rest of us do when we consume media. They seek out information that confirms what they already believe.
Experts with that particular style of thinking are prone to that tendency, yes.
Which brings us to the foxes and the hedgehogs. It's an old Isaiah Berlin metaphor that you use to divide your experts into two camps. What are foxes and hedgehogs, and how do they differ in their forecasts?
Well, the fox-hedgehog distinction goes back at least 2,500 years to classical Greece. The basic idea is that the hedgehog personifies someone who knows one big thing, someone who tries to organize everything into a comprehensive overall framework, whereas the fox is someone who knows many little things. Is much more intellectually opportunistic, is willing to pick ideas from wherever. It doesn't matter if it's a liberal idea or a conservative idea. They are very flexible.
You analyze the political judgments of Winston Churchill in terms of this hedgehog-fox analogy and found that in some important situations, the distinction isn't just academic. What are some of the examples of how Churchill's being a hedgehog affected the real political landscape?
Well, Winston Churchill is, of course, best known for his remarkably far-sighted predictions about Nazi Germany that go back as far as 1933, when Hitler just came to power. He was on record very early as stating that Nazi Germany was a gangster state, that it would be essentially impossible for Britain to coexist with Hitler.
And the foxes felt differently.
Stanley Baldwin, Neville Chamberlain, those very sophisticated British politicians certainly disagreed, and so did most British intellectuals and political observers.
He also had a hedgehog view when it came to India.
Well, that's one of the interesting things about Winston Churchill. Of course, he's remembered for being spectacularly prescient about Nazi Germany, but we forget how far off he was on India. He was an adamant opponent of self-government from India very early on. He even once compared Gandhi to Hitler. They were similar in his mental framework because both leaders represented threats to the British Empire.
But like Churchill, the hedgehogs aren't remembered very well for their wrong predictions.
By and large, that's right. It is true that if you wanted to identify the experts who have made the most spectacularly far-sighted predictions over the last 50 years, the hedgehogs would be disproportionately represented. But if you were computing batting averages, the hedgehogs would be clearly statistically inferior to the foxes.
And there is sort of a perverse inverse relationship between how spectacularly wrong some hedgehogs are and how much they're held responsible for those wrong predictions. The more wrong you are, the higher profile you are, the less you're called to account.
Well, that's an interesting feature of the political world. hedgehogs are typically embedded in political movements or theoretical movements, and they typically have people who will back them up. They can fall back on a base of supporters who will help them generate various types of excuses or belief system defenses that will neutralize the unexpected evidence. So they'll be able to argue, well, what I predicted didn't happen, but it will happen soon. Or I predicted that country X had weapons of mass destruction, and, well, it appears that it didn't, but it was the right mistake to have made. It's better to have overestimated them than to have underestimated them.
You note in your study that hedgehogs are more frequently wrong than foxes. But you also note that when it comes to experts, the media love, not wisely, but too well, the hedgehog. I guess because they make better TV.
The hedgehogs tend to provide better sound bites. I think that's definitely true. They're much more likely to offer unequivocal predictions, whereas the foxes are much more likely to attach lots of linguistic qualifiers to their predictions. Their speech is larded with things like but, however, although, all signs that you're putting on the brakes. There's also a team sport aspect to punditry. Pundits are often there to represent a certain point of view. So they want to make sure they've got an entertaining liberal hedgehog and an entertaining conservative hedgehog and pit them against each other and let the sparks fly. And so it has this public spectacle aspect to it. It's not particularly conducive to accuracy, but it is entertaining. And it really depends on what you want out of life.
And therein lies the problem, I guess, for the media. The entertainment value may be even more important than the accuracy. And yet your solution to the problem is to monitor all of these delightful hedgehogs and to rap the knuckles of the ones who are wrong. What exactly do you propose to deal with this problem?
Well, I think on balance, it would be a good idea to give some serious thought to systematically monitoring political punditry. I think we monitor professionals in many other spheres of life. I think we monitor weather forecasters. We increasingly monitor stock market analysts. We sometimes monitor doctors. I don't think it's unreasonable to suppose that when people offer opinions on extremely consequential issues, like whether or not to go to war or whether or not to have welfare reform or tax policy, trade policy, it's not unreasonable to ask what are their predictive track records in the past as a guide for how much credibility to attach to what they're saying in the present.
It does seem a little more important than whether or not to take an umbrella.
Well, that's important, too.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Philip Tetlock is the Mitchell Professor of Leadership at the University of California, Berkeley, and author of Expert Political Judgment, How Good Is It? How Can We Know?
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.